First of all, family life is not isolated from our spiritual life. See, these are observations or lessons that we can get from reading these three scripture portions. There are many people, they say, it's our family matter, you should not interfere. It's our personal business. It's our family matter. Who are you to intervene? Many believers, they think whatever happens in their family has nothing to do with the assembly. Assembly should not worry about what happens in the assembly. So in the family, elders or deacons or any believer, you should not interfere in our family matters. That is the way many say or many think. That is absolutely wrong. Because if it is so, Apostle Peter or Paul, they will not write anything about how you should behave in the family. They will only say you behave well in the society and behave well in the workplace. No, they are okay. And even at home also, a believer's spiritual life should be, your behavior or conduct or lifestyle should be exemplary or noble beautiful or excellent. It should be excellent. You remember that those words, you know, excellent, beautiful, admirable. You know, the word has many meaning. Such lifestyle. So family life is not isolated from our spiritual life. Whatever happens in the family will have an effect on our spiritual life. That will directly or indirectly affect the assembly. You cannot say that it has nothing to do with the assembly. Whatever happens in our home, somehow it will affect the assembly. That's why assembly will have to question. The assembly will have to deal with. The assembly will have to intervene. Whatever may happen at home. At home, there should be a kind of lifestyle which is acceptable to God's people or to God. Or the new life, the transformed life of a Christian should affect every area of his life. Workplace, society, and family. Now, the second observation is, that I have noticed is, healthy and strong family life is being built on the foundation of strong spiritual life. In other words, healthy and strong family depend on strong spiritual life. See, when you read those portions, you know, the background. Now here itself, Apostle Peter begins with like this. Wives, likewise. Likewise means? Now that refers to the preceding verse. There Apostle Peter spoke about the submissiveness of Lord Jesus Christ. And he is talking about how you should be submissive. He speaks about submissiveness. And especially about the submissiveness of Christ. Likewise, you wives. Husbands also coming. So, before giving instructions, practical matters on family life, these writers, they gave some spiritual truth. So, if they are aware, if they can understand, if they can get hold of that spiritual truth, it will be easy for them to build up family life. Now just think about Ephesians. You know those verses. We have no time to go there. In Ephesians, I told you, in Ephesians chapter 5, 22 onwards, up to 6, chapter 6 or 4, again he deals with family there. But before talking about family, what was the point Apostle Paul was making there? He was writing, he was speaking about 18. Okay, that is there, of course. The relation between Christ and church is there, of course. But one more thing is there, just before that. There speaks about the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You should be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what he wrote there. Then he goes on to family matters. And then again, as the, one will told, the relation between Christ and the church. So if a believer, they will understand, they will experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit. They will understand how Christ loves the church and how the church should be submissive to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Here Paul says, you will be able to lead a successful family life.
So successful, healthy, strong family life is based on successful, happy, strong spiritual life. When our spiritual life is strong, that will affect, that will help us to lead a strong, healthy family life. In the same in Colossians. Colossians also we have chapter 3:18 onwards, those references are there to family. But in the preceding verses we see, in verse 15, he writes about peace of God ruling in the hearts of people. Then in 16, the word of God dwelling in the minds of people. Then 17, the praise of God ascending from the lips of the people of God. When these three things are there, family is prepared to lead a successful life. So that we should understand that a healthy, strong family life depends on strong spiritual foundation. Any Christian, no, we are not talking about Christian, sorry, non-Christian, unbelievers. We talk about Christians, believers. If a Christian believer is not growing, if a Christian believer is not committed, if a Christian believer is not spiritual, immature, carnal, they will find it much difficult to lead a successful family life. As a godly man, when the proposal will come, they will ask, is the boy spiritual? Is the girl spiritual? I am saying it a little more clearly, that youngsters should understand it. Even parents should understand. But godly people will encourage. Not only that boy is saved, baptized, spiritual, regularly attending every activity, reading the Bible, praying, serving the Lord, sacrificially giving his time or talent or energy for the Lord. They are known to God's people as spiritual men. For them, godly men will, you know, search girl or boy. Because such believers only can lead a successful, healthy Christian life, family life. So our point is, healthy, strong family life depend on strong spiritual life. Okay, now the third lesson we learn, observation I could notice is, wife has a special place in the family. You see, you go home and see, you have noticed already, in all these three portions, Paul writes in Ephesians and Colossians, and Peter writes here. Everywhere, instruction to family begins with wife. Wives. Now Peter, he spends 6 verses on wife. Wives. Husband, only 1 verse. Now that's very clear, you know. In the family, wife has a special plan. Now why these writers writes to them first of all? And what is the reason why Peter gave 6 verses to them, 1 verse to husband? And husband is the head. He should be the prominent person. And they should write to him first of all. But to her wife they are writing first. What is the reason? I think because I personally believe, and this is what we can understand from here. I wrote something like this, you know, joy and effectiveness of family depend much on wife / mother. That's what we feel here. Peter and Paul understand that if wife is okay, many things at home will be alright. And we have seen it. We have mothers. We have wives. We have seen it at home. Who is the person behind, you know, for the joy, for the beautiful atmosphere, the person who creates the beautiful atmosphere, the joyful atmosphere? Wife. mother. In other words, if wife or mother fails, very hard, very difficult. So wife, they have a much role in the family. That's what we can learn from these three Bible references. Okay, now we shall go to what Apostle Peter says here in 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 to 7. Now first of all, I told you, 1 to 6, we see the role of a wife. The role of a wife. Wife's role. Okay, what is that wife's role? Be wives likewise. Be submissive to your own husbands. Wives should be submissive. Now then again, there are four things. You know, four things we should notice. Wives' submissiveness is not subjugation. What is the difference? Subjugation? Husband is not told to subdue her. She should be submissive. We are coming to the positive meaning. What does it mean? But it does not mean or does not imply subjugation. He is not supposed to subdue her. He is not supposed to defeat her. He is not supposed to make her under him. That is not his effort. That should not be his effort. He is not supposed to bring her under his control. So submissiveness is subjugation. It's not subjugation. It's not. It does not imply subjugation. Wife should be submissive to husbands. Okay. Now, the second thing we must understand, it does not imply inferiority. Inferiority means wife's submissiveness doesn't mean she is inferior to him. Inferior to means she doesn't need to say, oh, I'm a poor woman here and he is the master. She is not inferior. We are coming, maybe here we will come to that also. Peter will say something more. That does not imply inferiority. It is something like that. We all know team. You know, nowadays we understand team very well. Or in the military, there is a team is there. Naturally, there is a head is there. But that doesn't mean the other is inferior and the other is superior. There is, as far as the rank is concerned, in their responsibility, in their, you know, obligation, some one may be a decision maker, the other one has to ask, the other one has to report to him. So, such differences is there, but that does not mean inferiority. Wives' submissiveness or submitting to husband is totally, purely, voluntarily, and to the headship of husband, she has to be submissive. Now, third thing, we must understand about wife's submissiveness. See, these are not things which are very much popular in the present world. Today there are many feminist groups who are opposing this idea. They say women are not like the other, the last stage or the past stage. Today we are educated, we are self-independent and we do work hard and we get more money than husbands. So that's true. That doesn't violate, that doesn't mean that we can violate the principles of the Word of God. We cannot change the Word of God. We cannot change what the Bible says. We need to be submissive to husbands. Whatever may be your position in the office, your position in the company, your position in the secular field, they have to be submissive to the husband. Now, the third thing is, it is in love relationship. Told you, she should be submissive voluntarily. Husband should not try to bring her under his control. He is not supposed to do that. And wife should not think that I am nobody here, I am inferior to him and he is superior. But here a balance is there. In love relationship. Because my husband, God has, because he is mine, I love him and I should be submissive to him. In the Songs of Solomon, the verse is Shulamite is saying, my beloved is mine and I am his. My beloved is mine. Love for him should prompt her freely and willingly to submit to her husband. Now, fourth one, you should understand. Fourth thing in relation to wife submissiveness is this. It is God's design. It's not written there. In Colossians 3:18, Apostle Paul says in Colossians 3:18, after telling about the submissiveness, very dear wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Fitting in the Lord means this is what God has intended. At home, wives should be submissive. That is the way God has designed in creation, and we cannot change it. Now, Peter says there are five ways this submissiveness is expressed or revealed or displayed. Five ways. Five ways submissiveness is revealed. What are those five things? Five ways? Five things? Or five ways we can find it? Or a wife can express her submissiveness to her husband. First of all, you see verse 2. Chaste conduct and fear. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Another translation, English Standard Version says, respectful and pure conduct. Respectful and pure conduct. That means, her submissiveness is revealed in her respect for him, in her chaste conduct. Chaste conduct means her pure life. Or her word, there is nothing in her that is a cause for reproach, above blame. There is nothing above reproach. There is nothing there is there found in her which by which we can blame her. And chaste and accompanied by fear means she has a fear for husband, a respect, reverence for husband. So wife, chaste conduct and fear. Now the second thing. Now we are considering five ways. Now sisters, I know that you may not be more happy about it, but husbands will be happy. But we are coming to husband, don't worry about that. There are sisters, less sisters today, more husbands today. Okay, it seems at least future husbands, okay. So, in which way wife should express her submissiveness? Now that's what they are considering. Peter says, her chaste conduct and fear. That is number one. Respectful and pure conduct or behavior. Now, the second thing, absence of ostentation. Ostentation means she has no interest. Let's read that verse, Do not let your adornment be merely outward. Arranging the hair, wearing gold or putting on fine apparel. Rather let it be the hidden person of the heart. See, what is the second thing? A woman or a wife who is submissive to her husband, she has no desire, no interest in trying to impress others with her dress, with her adornment. That's what Apostle right Peter says here. She has no effort to impress people with their adornment. Why? Why they have no interest in that? They have not at all interest. See, you know it today very well. It's a business. It's a big business. I know today's girls, these days, Many will not say, you may murmur, you also have a wife, you also have to bear with. I know very well. I know what our girls are arguing, our present generation. I know their pressure. I know the social pressure also. But let me tell you very clearly, whatever may be the society will think about it, whatever may be the people will think about it, the word of God, we cannot violate, we cannot just minimize, we cannot neglect the truth, the word of God. Godly people will not give importance to outward adornment. Whether it is arranging hair, or wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. See, Peter doesn't say that you should not wear. Now there are some many Malayali Christians are, but so it's a big problem about wearing gold. Shall we wear gold or shall we not wear gold? So there are certain people who will condemn the one who is wearing gold, whatever they have. Now I'm not going to that debate area, that controversy. But personally I believe Apostle Peter doesn't say you should not wear any sari, you should not wear any, arrange your hair, you should not, doesn't say that. But the idea is there, they will not give importance to it. Their focus is not external adornment. Their focus, their goal or their intention, their interest is not in the external matters. Today's world is going to the other extreme. It's sad to see quite often in our marriages especially, poor girl, beautiful girls, godly woman at the marriage, when they come for marriage, it's very sad to see. That natural beauty is gone. Their joy is gone. That natural grace is gone. Why? The whole day they were sitting with somebody and they were trying to give them more beauty. Actually, the real beauty is gone. That joy is gone. I don't know how you will see, but I personally feel, I feel sad. And I say these things to my wife, my daughters, and they also say, let the wedding day come, you will see. I really fear. It's really very much hard to live in this world for a Christian. When we go to the shop to buy clothes for our daughters, we can't. There is no product at all. They will say, nobody wants such things. When I say, I'm an Indian, I'm a Christian, I need such and such thing. No. We don't have. Even the tailor, when we go to the tailor, he will also say, no, you cannot make such kapada. That is not good. That is not good for today. I feel very bad. So Christians will not give more importance. What I'm trying to say is this. God is there. One sentence is there. See, one sentence is there. Verse 4. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with incorruptible beauty of gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Now there I have to come again. Okay. So absence of ostentation, that means there is no show. They don't make any show at all. Now the third thing, gentle and quiet spirit. Gentle and quiet spirit, there I have to explain a little more about the second point itself, because why they don't give more importance to external adornment? Because they know that what God looks at is internal character. The beauty, Peter says, rather, carefully you see that, rather let it be the hidden person. Hidden person means the hidden character, the hidden nature, the nature or the character of that sister, which is hidden for people, but it is visible to God. That alone God will look at. And the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Real beauty is spiritual beauty. Real beauty is meekness. Real beauty of a sister, of a person is quiet, meek, you know, lifestyle. Quietness. I'm coming there. Now, then he says there, which is very precious in the sight of God. Which is very precious in the sight of God. God is not concerned what kind of perfume we are using. God is not concerned what kind of lotions or what kind of cosmetics we are using. God is not concerned about those things. Whatever we do, you know, all external things, all this beauty, external beauty will fade away. How low, how low. We are coming from a graveyard. What is life? What is life? Godly people will not give more importance to external adornment, but they will give importance to internal adornment. Internal beauty. What is an internal beauty? Gentle and quiet spirit. Gentle speaks of the way she behaves with her husband. She will cooperate with him. She will be submissive to him. She will be meek. Quiet speaks of her. There is no rebellion, no resentment, no fighting. Many houses, I don't know about the present day, earlier, even today, many houses. I don't say about the believers. What are the fightings between husband and wife? Godly woman will not rebel. She will hold her peace. And God values that character. True beauty of a brother or sister is internal beauty. Okay, I have to run fast. I have to rush fast. See, somebody noticed one thing, which was, you know, it's interesting to observe that. In Genesis, we don't need to go there. In Genesis 24:22, we read about three pieces of ornaments. Now, in connection to the ornaments, I'm saying, when you read Genesis 24:22, we read about three pieces of ornaments that was given to Rebecca. Three pieces. Okay. Now when we come to book of Isaiah, 3:18-23, you know how many pieces of ornaments Israeli women are using? When you read carefully, Isaiah 3:18-23, you will see there 21 items. 21 items. We should read carefully there. And 16, that means Isaiah 3:16-18. God says, God is condemning the women of Judah. You should read it carefully. That means Isaiah 3:16 onwards, you should read carefully. The women of Judah, they were wearing all kinds of ornaments. 21 items are found there. And so today, 21 lakh, I don't know. Many years ago, 3, then 21, and now after so many years, godly people will not go after such things. And then you read carefully, there God rebukes the women of Judah. And God says, I'm going to give you certain diseases. And I'm going to remove all these ornaments. I'm not against ornaments. In our assembly, believers are there with ornaments. I don't care who wear what. I don't care. I don't see. That is not my focus. But what I'm saying is, godly men, godly women will not give more importance to external beauty. They will give importance to internal beauty. That alone God is looking. God looks at inside and man looks at outside. Okay, now we shall go to the fourth one, the fourth way, or fourth, fourth way her submissiveness is displayed. That is respect. Respect for husbands. Verse 5 and 6, we read there. For in this manner, in the former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. two things are together done there. Calling him Lord. Peter says, in this manner, in former times, godly women like Sarah, holy women, they adorned themselves with internal beauty and they were submissive to their husbands. How do we know? Peter says, she called her husband Master, Lord, respecting husbands. Today's world, you know, I don't know how you view all these things, I don't know. But today, in the Kerala culture, normally no girl would call husband the name. That is the Kerala culture. I don't know present culture. Earlier in our young age, I have seen that. But today, many in the other culture, they will say only name, more mister, or something like that. See, if the culture will appreciate it, I have nothing against that. But the thing is, whatever you call, even you can call Achayan and fight also. You can call Achayan and fight also. So whatever you call, that should be respectfully. Wife should respect husband. Wife should respect. A lot of things coming to my mind because it's a vast topic. We can't go into every aspect of family, husband, wife relationship. We have to cover the passage. So her respect reveals her submissiveness to her husband. Now the fifth one is written there, obedience. Obedience means she will obey. As I have told you already, just like her submissiveness, obedience also. Obedience of a wife is not like a slave, not like a servant. It's not that every morning husband has to command her. No. Wife, because she loves her, because she wants to do anything for him, her desire is, what more shall I do for him? What more shall I do for him? That way, husband cannot say, command, you should do this thing. That is wrong. That is not good. But wife, in love for him, in submissiveness to him, she will be obedient and she will obey him. Now, Proverbs says, Solomon says in Proverbs 31:10, such virtuous women are rare. Who will get such virtuous women? Because they are very rare. They are precious. They are costly. That's why before marriage, many, many years before marriage, we need to pray, Lord, prepare me. And also prepare, if it is your will, a girl for me as a wife. Don't run after girls, not run after women, not run after wife. Don't try to seek, don't try to find for yourself. Pray, and prayerfully, with the consent of godly men, with the, you know, prayers of godly people, you should find wife, husband. Family life is very, very serious, madam. Such virtuous women are rare and we need to prayerfully seek the Lord that God may prepare the best for us. Now, what is the response? Okay, one more thing is there. Peter says, if wife will behave like that, what will happen? What is the result? It is written there, such wives, where it is written, you know, end of verse 1, without a word, they may be able to win them. See, that means this family, they both were unsaved, heathen, Gentiles. What sister, wife got saved, man, that brother, husband, is not a believer. Peter says, wife, sister, you should behave well as a godly woman. He will carefully observe your godly life. You don't need to preach. You don't need to say the word. Without uttering a single word, by seeing your life, you can win the heart of. This is the way we need to win anybody who is superior. Superior means in rank. Superior to us. We may not be able to say many things. We may not be able to preach to them. But we can show a life. As we were listening to about Uncle Churian's life. He had no message. He had no preaching. He was not preaching. He couldn't preach. But he are a life, presenting a life which is godly and holy. And by that, we can win heart. Now, husband's role. In verse 7, what shall the husband do? Now, we have no time to go into the details. What is the basic responsibility of a husband? Husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding. Now, that likewise, husbands likewise, what does it mean? See, just like in verse 1, wives likewise, referring to the preceding verse. That means the submissiveness of Christ. Now here, referring to what? Again, the preceding verses. Referring to submissiveness of wife. So likewise means? You may not be happy to hear that. Husbands, you also be submissive. It's not true. It's not written there. But that's what we can understand from there. Husbands, likewise. You should also be submissive to your wife's needs. See, in Ephesians chapter 5, we read that husband's role. Submission. Like Ephesians chapter 5, 21, there's one, we read there. Of course, it's about the believers, but still, in 22 onwards, he speaks about wives. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. There should be a mutual submission. Mutual, you know, submissiveness. Or in other words, mutual, we can say, mutual, what you can say, the other word is consideration. Now, sister should not go and fight today. Today, Brother Nelson was saying, why husband should be submissive? No, no, please don't do that. What I'm trying to say is, it's a lesson. Husband, don't think that I'm a bishop. I'm master at home. I'm a dictator at home. And he should be submissive. No, that is not the way. There should be a mutual consideration. Wife will be submissive to husband. Okay. The same time, husband should never try. All I have told you, never try to control her. Never try to bring her under our control. Be submissive. When wife will be submissive to the headship of husband, husband should be submissive to the needs of wife. Caring. Providing for. Now, Peter says, how can we know if a husband is caring or considering, if he has a consideration for her or not. Now, three things are found there. Very quickly we shall go. They receive, dwell with them. Husbands, okay, three things together we shall go. Husbands who consider. Husbands who have a consideration for their wives. They will, Peter say, they will dwell with their wives. Dwell with them. Now what does it mean, dwell with them? Stay with them. Now there are some husbands I know, they are not at all interested to stay with them. If at all they are together in Bombay or somewhere, they will go in the morning and come by late night, and even after coming they will read the newspaper, do everything, these things and that, and they will go to bed and again morning they will go and come. They have no interest to be with wives. I should say, especially to the young husband, newly married, especially we should say, you should teach them. You should tell them. You should be with your wife. Husband and wife should be together. Spend time. Wife is not a cook. Wife is not a servant. She needs companionship. She needs your presence. She needs your protection. You should provide for her, protect her, and spend time with her. Dwell with them. And secondly, such husbands who got a consideration for their wives,
will understand them. Poetra says,
with understanding. With understanding means? With understanding? Oh, that also, lot of things are there to consider. Understand them. There are many things. Oh, I know. No, we don't know.
They got married in 90. That means 20 years. I don't say, I cannot say that I don't know, but yet, I think you can only say, still trying to know. After 20 years.
So, understand them means, husband should understand wife. Peter says, she has some limitation, her capacity. You know, it is written there, understanding, giving honor to the wife, to the weaker vessel. Weaker vessel means in relation to physical capacity. Physically, wives are weak. They will fear many things. They are not, you know, their capacity is limited physically. But remember, only physically they are weak. Don't think that women are weak in mentally, intellectually. They are best, I believe. Somebody said, men have sight. Women have insight. Women, you know, I don't know the name, Kochar and Nioki and all famous people are, you know, they are women. They are ICIC, herd, band herd, and the Pepsi herd, and such women are there. There are strong women. Don't think that they are not capable for anything. They are capable. But physically, they are very much weak, and we should understand. So we should understand their capacity, what they can do, what they can't do. We should understand both. We should understand them, and we should be fully aware about their needs, emotional needs. Many ask them. Let me tell you very frankly. In my life, it took some time to understand, little bit. First year, very hard it was. Or maybe 2 years. Very hard it was. Because we don't read very secular magazines. And, no, we don't have secular understand. Secular, just today's generation, they know many things. But in our generation, we had many, you know, restrictions are there. We don't read certain things. We don't go, you know, we are not exposed to various other information. So it took a little bit hard to understand many things. In relation to wife, husband, family, relationship. It's truly I'm saying. So that we should understand. We should teach our own generation. We should not think that by marriage ceremony, celebration, everything is over. No. We should teach them. It takes time to understand one another. Their emotional need, their physical need, their mental need, their material need, their capacity, their capability, everything we should understand. And no, husband should also respect them. Husband who will have a consideration for wife will respect them. Respect means honor them, appreciate them, give them value. Give them value. Peter gives two reasons why husbands you should do that. Because you are heir together. You are heirs together. See, heirs together means in the family there is one is heard and the other has to be submissive. That is true. But apart from that relationship, there is another relationship. What is that? In Christ. Husband-wife relationship will go only up to the grave. But there is another relationship which will go even beyond the grave. That is our Christian relationship. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. So they are partners together for grace. Now that word, different teachers, they understand different way. But I think we should say in this manner, we are heirs together for the grace. They are referring to our spiritual relationship. We are partners together in Christ. The Lord has saved us. He has purchased us with the same value, with the same precious blood. So we should respect the other. We should respect each other because we are heirs together. And secondly, pray should not be hindered.
there is problem in the family, no prayer. That is natural.
That's what Peter says. Peter says, if there is friction in the family, if husband and wife fail to live together, harmony or peaceful, joyful condition, there cannot be a family prayer. Even if we try, God will not listen to that prayer. So, husband, see, it is the responsibility of me, husband, to make sure before the family altar, prayer, whatever may be there, settle it. We should make sure that there should be family prayer every day. There should not be any friction. There should not be any disagreement. If at all there is any, we should settle it so that our prayers will not be hindered. The evil one doing everything to hinder our prayers. The evil one will stop our prayers and our relationship, our spiritual joy. So our effort as husband should take the initiative in conducting prayers. So we have seen a lot of things there. Wife's responsibility, honorable conduct in the family, wife submissive, husband also submissive. Submissive means actually he has a consideration for her needs. Wife submissive to husband's headship. Husband submissive to wife needs. By chaste conduct and fear, absent of ostentation, gentle and quiet spirit, respect for husband, obedience, wife will reveal it. And husband, by dwelling together, understanding, respecting, he will make it clear, I respect you and I have a concern for you. And then, because they understand that they are aged together, then praise will not be. So may God help us that our family life may be exemplary. In our family, there may be godly, honorable behavior. If it is there, our children will learn it. And neighbors will understand it. Assembly will be happy. And God's name will be glorified. Many hearts will be won by such honorable behavior in the assembly. May God bless.